part of, I think, what helped me over the years to get not only better at having meaningful, hard conversations, but also to be able to have meaningful, deep conversations that led to the people that I really want to surround myself with. It was some things that I learned in therapy and that I was able to work on and be able to grow. And part of that was growing myself. Yes. Right? Working on yourself so that you show up as the person that is valuable to other people. Today will be the day, the day. It all will change. Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey. Well, on today's show, we are going to talk about networking. Your network is your net worth. And this is a topic I'm super passionate about, and I'm so glad that you suggested it, Brenda. Let's talk about networking. What is something that you have found is super important when it comes to how you approach networking?
For me, I say this all the time. Make sure you're in the room with like-minded people. I think that is one of the most important rules that I apply for myself, is to make sure that I'm in conversation with people who are like-minded, that I'm attending events with people who are like-minded, that I'm in small groups with people who are like-minded. But I think that's one of the most important things to remember.
That's good. And I really like the idea that I look for people who are like-minded, but I also look for people who are different.
Yeah.
So people who are aligned with my values, but who also think differently than me, so that we have that diversity of ideas that we all bring together. But when you talk about like-minded, what are some things that you look for in people that you surround yourself with in order to do business, to grow yourself?
Yes. When I think about it, I'm thinking about it from the standpoint, these are people that believe that they can be more than what they are now. These are people who are willing to take risk. These are people who understand the importance of whether it's business or collecting data so that they can be better, that they're not comfortable with where they are. Now, we may not have the same business idea or business concept that we're considering moving forward in, but we have the same mindset that it's possible.
Yes. Yes.
So that's what I look for.
Yeah. And I've found that over the years, when I intentionally surround myself with people who are in that growth mindset that you're talking about, that's where my next business idea usually comes from as yeah. well, because I'm seeing people who they have that alignment of thought mm-hmm. and values and goals and like where they're headed. And they just find a new or innovative way to move towards their goals. And I learn from them and I go, oh, if she can do it, I can do it. Or if she has that idea and she has a lot of the same values that I do, it makes total sense that something that someone in my circles is doing would resonate at a high level with me.
Absolutely. It sparks creativity.
Yeah.
I think it causes you to stretch when you're sitting down and you're having conversations with someone else that's sharing something from a perspective or a way where you never even thought about it that way. It creates all of these various different light bulb moments. Not that you're trying to mimic what someone else is doing, but a couple of the things that they're saying and a couple of those ingredients you can add to your little pot and create a whole new dish. Yeah. You know, so whether that's a whole new business idea or another way of approaching it, or even deciding that I need to pivot. I need to revamp what I'm doing, because if I take this little bit of information that I was able to gather from someone else that I'm in conversation or in relationship with, I could even go to a higher level. So being open to that, being open for creativity. I just don't want to be in a room with naysayers.
Right.
That to me means they're not like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, you know, someone who's always wants to go, you know, it's got to be this way. That's what deters me. That's what concerns me about being in a room with someone like that, because it's just like, okay, you're not really bringing anything to the table that allows me to be authentically me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're bringing your book that's ABC. It has to look like this. And that's just not how I think. And I know that's, I think outside of the box. So I think I thrive being around other people who also are open to thinking outside the box.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, for me, one of the things that I look for in people that I want to surround myself with are, is not just that they're positive from a standpoint of an unrealistic positivity, but that we always look at a challenge as an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like things can be going really badly and we can share what's real.
Yeah.
And the people that I choose to surround myself with will take ownership and accountability and responsibility. Yeah. And they are not going to blame other people for their problems. They're going to look for what can I do to solve it? How can this problem become the thing that allows me to do the next thing? Or how can I take that challenge and turn it into an opportunity? That's how I know somebody's like who I want to be in a room with.
So
it's not an unrealistic positivity. It's a people who are real and they are real encouraging and they always look for an opportunity instead of look for how, this is not the next thing that's going to go wrong. What else is going to go wrong? Yeah. Like you're almost looking for it. Cause I find that when you are looking for problems, you're going to find them. When you're looking for opportunities, you will also find them.
Yeah. And you're going to attract them. Cause you know, I believe in manifestation.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to manifest that problem or, you know, whatever that thing is. So you got to be very careful on how you move forward and how you communicate, you know, what you say, but, you know, it's just as important to be, you know, in the room with like-minded people as it is to make sure that if you find that you're in the room with people who don't flow that way, that you limit your access and their access to you.
Yes.
Especially when you're in that energy, when you're flowing in that energy of creativity, elevation, you know, and all those things. But there does become a season when you might have to kind of, everybody's not going to make it. Let me just say that. Everybody in your circle, everybody you rolling with before you decide to take your life and your business to the next level may not make it. It's not a bad thing. It's just the reality of life. So knowing how to pivot your energy, your time, when you find yourself in that situation where, okay, this person may not be going in the same direction that I'm going in. So I might want to limit my conversations and sharing certain things with this person, but this person is. So, you know, so being able to appropriately place people in your life when you're trying to elevate is just as important as, you know, just planning yourself in a room with like-minded people.
Absolutely. You know, I think sometimes, and this is how we're raised, this is how we're programmed, is that we tend to be closest with the people who are closest to us in proximity. And so that becomes our classmates, it becomes our coworkers. And those are the people that we're like, that we end up spending the most time with because of their proximity. It's our family members.
Yeah.
Right. There's that proximity. And one thing that I found when I decided to do some next level things in my life is I had to be very, very intentional about finding the people that I was going to grow alongside. You know, and it was funny because I remember a conversation I had with my therapist, and I always called him like life coach, but he was like a life coach therapist type. And I think that made my brain feel better about seeing a therapist for so many years. I'm like, he's like my life coach. Okay. But I was like, Bob, where are my people? Where are my people? Cause I was running a business and I was doing some next level things and I was trying to elevate myself. And it was very lonely in that season. I was like, why, you know, who do I talk to about this stuff besides you? And like, and we don't even talk business that much. Like we're just talking about dealing with the shit, you know? And so I was like, where are my people? And he said something so powerful. And I believe it became like a pivotal point for me as he said, maybe your people are not in this town.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you look around and you don't find people that are doing the kind of things that you're doing and growing in the ways that you're growing, that's not because there's something wrong with you. It may be that you've outgrown your immediate community. And I love to be connected with the community that I live in. I'm always like an advocate for my own community's growth and like being a cheerleader for it. But that does not mean that my closest relationships and the people that I choose to grow alongside have to come from my immediate community. And so that's why we do things like join networks and join coaching programs and mastermind groups when you know that you need to be intentional about who you surround yourself with.
Absolutely. Because I would have to say, even for me, because, you know, I've joined coaching programs, I've joined mentorships and small groups, the works, and they're all out of state.
Yeah.
You know, everyone, all of the people I'm connected to are in another state or in another area. But because we've agreed to set aside time for each other, and we created space for us to connect and in some cases socialize, in most cases networking about the various different things that are important to us as a whole, because I've agreed to take that time, I don't feel as lonely. I don't feel like I'm out here on my own when I am trying to, you know, take my life to the next level. And you're absolutely right. Sometimes the people that are closest to you in proximity, they're going in a different direction. Mm-hmm. I may not be there in their mind and what they're doing. I may not be like-minded for them, even though I'm speaking about it from my perspective, what's like-minded for me. But that doesn't mean that that relationship ends. It just means that the energy that I'm given towards the things that's elevating me is going to stay in a specific circle of people. And then everything else I can share with the other people who may not be in the same lane from the business standpoint or from the coaching or even just elevating your life as a whole. You said something that reminds me that we have in common, which is a therapist. Yeah. I have a therapist I see on the regular basis. I wholeheartedly believe in maintenancing your mind. If we maintenance our car and our health, why would we not maintenance our mind, something we use every day, all day? So I am a firm believer in having a therapist to help balance things out. And I think it's been very helpful. And it gives me a place to sometimes leave certain energies that I'm not sure how to handle.
Yeah.
I go there, I drop it there. I feel better because it's no longer up here and I'm able to kind of move on whether I have an answer or not. I've given myself permission to move on.
Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, my therapist encouraged me to find my people outside of my immediate circles that I was in. He also helped me to navigate letting go of past relationships that were not serving me, how to have those hard conversations.
Yes.
And that's probably why I call him a life coach. I was like, this is what I need. Cause I started therapy because you start for one reason and then you discover what the real reasons are. Yeah. But I started because I had team members that I considered friends that I recognized were not going to be able to go to the next level with me. And it was breaking my heart. I felt so guilty. I felt so terrible. And, you know, it wasn't a good fit for them. It wasn't a good fit for me, but I was having a really hard time with that emotional like separation, or feeling like, how do I have a hard conversation and come away okay?
Yeah.
And then a bunch of other things happened in my family relationships and like really, really hard things. And I was so grateful that I had that, that therapist relationship going, because it helped me to navigate the next level hard things that I had to cope with and navigate. But I think having the tools to be able to now have hard conversations, to be able to separate from, you know, toxic relationships or people who are not, can't go with you, and you've got to renegotiate that relationship. Sometimes you can like drift apart and that's cool. Yeah, right. That's but natural, sometimes you've got to have intentional conversations that have have some consequences tied to it, or, not consequences even, but just like the result is this. If I say this, this is what's going to happen. And I got to be ready for that outcome. And then, you know, but part of, I think what helped me over the years to get not only better at having meaningful, hard conversations, but also to be able to have meaningful, deep conversations that led to the people that I really want to surround myself with. Yeah. Was some things that I learned in therapy and that I was able to work on and be able to grow. And part of that was growing myself, right? Working on yourself so that you show up as the person that is valuable to other people.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does. Because it is, you know, you're right. A lot of times people find themselves turning towards therapy because something has happened. There's been some type of event, and that event involves other people.
Right.
So the key is that you've got to ask the right questions. And it's not always what did they do, but what can I do better? So if you're operating from that place of really realizing that the only person you can affect change in is yourself, and you're focusing on, let this be about me. Let me learn more about me. And, you know, why do I do things this way? Or, you know, give yourself permission, you know, to acknowledge that you're doing some things the right way. Yeah. And in some cases, these situations that we find ourselves in, you know, it's seasonal and the season is over. And it's not like you grow up, people teach you that relationships are seasonal. You kind of learn that on your own as you get older, or you have some bumps in the road in reference to somebody you thought was, you know, had this place in your life. And you have to deal with the grief of mourning the loss of that friendship, connection, or whatever that is. And I would have to say, for me growing up, that's not something that that my parents talked about. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about, of course, grieving the loss of like someone deceased, that's different. Right. Than it is realizing that the relationship, the friendship has gone the distance, the season is over, and it's time to move on. It doesn't have to be a knockdown drag out for you to realize, like, you know, I think we've gone as far as we can go. I think it's okay to let go. Mm-hmm. So I'm referring to that because I'm just thinking back to when I first gave myself permission to get a therapist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? you know, and it wasn't that something, you know, it's not always that something's wrong. And that's what people think when you suggest, maybe we should get a therapist, or maybe we should bring somebody in to assist us with this. People always think, oh, something must be wrong with them. Well, no, but what if something's right?
Yeah.
And you want, you know, and you need that extra help to go, or that extra push to kind of keep, you know, to go to the next level and to reaffirm what you're doing and all those things. You know, my bachelor's degree was in behavior science. So I've always been interested in how people think and always been open to therapy and the importance of having someone in your life that can kind of not tell you what to do, but kind of help you to get there.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and sometimes I think when things are going well, we will do things to self-sabotage and kick ourselves back into an old comfort zone. Yeah. And so I think when things are going well, that's actually a really important time to lean in on working on yourself even more.
Yes.
Because you will find that the old patterns are very sneaky. Yeah. And they show up like self-sabotage, mm-hmm. hesitating to take action, perfectionism, procrastination. Yes. All of those things are for most of us, that's how it shows up. Yes. And we will start to call it things like, oh, I'm burnt out. Like I'm procrastinating because I just am burnt out. And so in order to prevent burnout, we've got to figure out, what do I need to do to continue to build myself up and to be emotionally supported while I'm doing important things?
Yes.
And not everyone has I think we rely on our partner or a friend who is not equipped to help us to navigate this.
Right.
We expect a lot out of our support circles, and sometimes getting to a professional is going to be like the best answer.
Because I know I've realized, you know, over time that going to my, and I love my girlfriends. I got some good girlfriends. I mean, some of them been there since day one, you know, but I learned over the years that you can't take everything to your circle of friends because they're gonna ride or die for you. They're gonna always be on your side, even if you're wrong. They're gonna be like, girl, I got you. You know, they're gonna be taking off the earrings and ready to go, right? But that's not always the answer. So sometimes you need to go to that person that's not gonna always tell you right.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a disservice. Now, there are moments when you need that.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you move further down the road and you start thinking about business ideas and elevating yourself financially, all of those things, you need somebody who's going to be honest with you, authentic with you. And sometimes it's not your homegirl.
Yeah. I think when we have a fear that someone will not want to talk to us anymore if we say something hard, yeah, or that they're going to start avoiding us and that, yeah, feels emotionally messy, that we will avoid hard conversations with people that are close to us,
yeah,
because there's too much, it feels like there's too much at stake. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, someone that you intentionally put in your circles because you respect them professionally and they respect you professionally, I feel like that's a situation where you also, when you pour into other people and you receive from other people, it also, you're proving to them that I care about your situation and I care about your success, yes, at a different level. And it's not just about like being a rah-rah girl. It's, yeah, about, for me in my circles, it is, yeah, also about being a truth teller.
Yes.
And being willing to say something hard. And part of the safety of that, I think, in a circle of other professionals is that we are there because we want to be successful and help others be successful. And, yeah, there's sort of this agreement.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, you have to also make sure you're mindful that you're not in a circle of people that's competitive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so
it's, let's, I talk, mean, about that.
Yeah, they're different ingredients and things you have to look for when you're, because everybody's, it's just interesting when you see that, or when you pick that up, that you're in a space of people that, unbeknownst to you, they're competing with you. Mm-hmm. And that can skew their advice to you.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
If their motive is not pure, if that makes sense. So you have to, every once in a while, you have to, you know, recalibrate and make sure that, okay, not to say that you don't want to see other people elevate and succeed and move beyond you, but there's a difference between that and someone who feels like that's not for you, it's for me. And if it seems like you're getting it before me, I'm going to snatch it. Because that's kind of how, to me, that's how competition comes across to me. Someone who's competitive with me, not someone who's like, who's just trying to positively pour in, but it's a measuring stick. And I'm like, wait, I'm not sharing this, trying to be vulnerable and authentic with you so that you can pull out a measuring stick, me against you.
Yeah.
So, and I know it might sound kind of weird the way I'm saying it, but I know how it feels to be exposed to someone who's inadvertently competing with you. And now they've changed the dynamics of your relationship.
Yep. I totally get it. And I think one of the things that I love about like our circle that we've created, our mastermind, it never feels like competition. It always feels like we're competing against ourselves. Yes. Like, I want to do better this year than I did last year. I want to be a better person this year than I was last year. And looking for opportunities on each other's behalf. It's, yes, almost like, instead of saying, well, why would you do that? It's more like, well, have you thought about this? And it's like, yes, always a yes and. Where, yes, we're able to hear an idea or something we're working on. And there's now, yeah, yeah, there's not a sense of like, well, here's like, oh, that's what you did. Well, listen to what I did. Right. And, or here's what I'm going to do. Or like encouraging others, you know, each other to play small for some, yeah, kind of personal weird ego thing. But it's more like, well, if I can do it, you can do it. Let me share, right, with you what I did.
Right. Or we can do it together.
And we can do it together. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we are very fortunate. I mean, for those of y'all that don't know, Andrea and I are in the same mastermind group. We've been together probably since 2021, along with several, a good 20 other ladies that's been a part of this group. And it has been one of the best decisions that I have made, was to say yes when I was invited into this group. And that is just how it is. We're all doing things at different places and different times and everything. We're all different. So when someone does come to the table with a fantastic idea, or they've, you know, and they, or they've had this big win, it's a cheerleading session.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah,
that's great. What can I do? How can I help? You know, or if someone comes to the table with, hey, this didn't work out the way I wanted it to. Now we come, well, try this, try that, you know? So it is definitely a healthy, yeah, positive environment. But, you know, but one of the things you have to do is make sure that you are in healthy environments for you. If you feel icky, if you're trying to question why someone is saying and doing some of the things that they're doing, or like, wait, that doesn't seem, you know, you leave the conversation and you have a question mark, yeah, then you need to kind of pay attention to that in the rooms that you're in. In some cases, it calls for a conversation, and that might be all that's needed. In other cases, it may mean you need to pivot. So yeah. Networking is key, and understanding that you're networking with the right people. Everybody is not always the right person for you to invite into your personal space. You have different rings. Yeah. You know, you have the outer ring, and the people on the outer ring, they can show up sometimes any kind of way because they're not going to get to the next ring, which is closer. And each one, it gets closer and closer to you. So I think that it's important to understand that the importance of having a sound group of people that you can call on, that that offer you that level of support, good or bad, because we've talked about everything from business to personal stuff.
Absolutely. We've been through, people in our group have been through diagnosis, divorces,
yes.
You know, sick kid, you know, like mm-hmm. all like really bad stuff, but like we carry each other through, like yeah. we show up for each other when things are really hard, and we celebrate each other when things are really good, and all of us are learning on the way. And that's, you know, and I think when it, back when I was telling my therapist, where's my people? Like what I have created is what I was searching for. And I yeah. want people to recognize that is yeah. that this is not about luck. This is not mm-hmm. about stumbling into like, oh, I just happened to find this. For some of us, if you are looking and you are not finding your people, that may mean that you may be being called to create your yes. own group. That you need to, I mean, because you can seek out and you can look to join. And I've done that too, is like found coaching groups for people who are working on the exact thing that I'm working on, that I could learn from and that I could receive support through and be a support to. But there's also been times in my life where I looked around and I did not find what I was looking for. And so I created it.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. that's, I think that's a really important piece of taking responsibility for building your network yeah. the way that you need to have a network. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Brenda, I want to talk for a little bit about, you know, because we're talking about who you surround yourself with, like, yes. like who's your sisterhood kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how networking has been impactful for you when it comes to building your business on a local mm-hmm. scale.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been impactful for me from the standpoint of like, well, as you know, I invest in an underserved community, a community in Tuskegee. So when I got to Tuskegee, I connected with local leaders. I looked for other people who were trying to do the same thing that I was trying to do, other investors in the area, introduced myself, made myself available to them. Let them know that I'm willing to share my knowledge and information with them. So it really was showing up with my hands wide open. Mm-hmm. Not only ready to receive, but ready to give. So there I planted myself in places where I would meet like-minded people. The Chamber of Commerce, you know, was one of the places that I went and met some people who were very kind and that very helpful for me, that now I have what I feel is a friendship with them. There was the leadership when I first got there, but now they've moved on to do other things. So from that standpoint, in that community, I made sure I got involved. So wherever I invest, you know, because I am a real estate investor. So wherever I invest, I make sure I connect myself to that community. I try to find who else is doing the same thing that I'm doing, you know, in this community where I can learn from, you know, those kind of things. But then I also connect myself to other real estate groups.
Yeah.
Other women who are investors like I am, whether it's I'm in multiple different groups.
Yeah.
That to me is important. It is important. And in some cases, I pay to be there.
Uh-huh.
You know, so being constantly investing in myself and opening myself up to meet other people. And some of them, I want them to be far ahead of me so I can learn
yes.
from them. I mean, my goal is to be in a room with people who know more than I do.
That's right. That's right.
You know. So yeah. that's kind of how I approach it, is being open to meeting new people, hearing what they have to say, sharing, allowing them to share with me the same time I'm trying to share with them. Because it seems like on the outside looking in, like I, to some people, like I am doing so well and I have all the answers. And I'm like, no, I'm still learning and I'm still collecting data. Yeah. So I'm constantly collecting data. That's what keeps me moving forward. What about for yourself, Andrea? What do you, you know, how do you approach that?
Yeah.
Networking and
yeah. So when I first got started in real estate, that was literally how I found deals. Mm-hmm. That was, I reached out to like an insurance agent. I was having conversations with a property management company, real estate attorneys, people who are already working with lots of homeowners or other people who are investors so that I could learn what they're doing. And that was actually how I found leads to get started in my business was I got referrals from the people I was proactively networking with. And I have some great scripts for that. If anybody wants them, like, let me know. I've got a workshop where I actually teach what I say in those kind of conversations. And so that was transformational. I found all of my contractors for those properties and the title company from referrals from my real estate agent. So networking and referrals is like absolutely how I built my business when it comes to real estate. And then even when we moved from Kansas to Colorado, that was a really important, like if you don't know people in a new town and you're trying to do a significant project, one of the only ways to find good people is referrals. And you got to build your network and you got to be willing to put yourself out there and become known. And so that was something that we worked pretty proactively on. And I'm going to shout out to my husband because he was like boots on the ground doing the projects and like he would hang out at the local lumber yard. And like, that was a great place to like meet all the right people, you know, chatting up with the pro desk at Home Depot, all that stuff. But I found like, and I'm going to share a story. Like, so I go to meetings in my town of, people who are all moving in the same direction as I am as far as in terms of like our sobriety. Mm-hmm. And so I get connected on a local basis with groups of people that are growing themselves in that way personally. And one of the things that's been really powerful for me is having coffee with people. Because when you're local and you can get together in person, the best way to take a relationship to the next level or to, you know, get to know them better and they become one of your people is coffee or lunch, having lunch with someone or going out to coffee. And it was the coolest thing because there was this woman that I had seen multiple times over the years since we moved here. And finally I was like, let's have coffee. And she ended up being someone who helps people publish books. And I help people launch coaching programs. And she's like, I need what you have. And I was like, I need what you have. And now we're getting started working together to be able, so I can help her do something and she can help me do something. And that was not the intent of our coffee. It was just a happy thing that worked out as a result of it. So you don't always know when you're going to connect with somebody one-on-one, what the outcome will be or what, you know, what's going to come out of that. And so I always say like, let's have open hands. Yes. And my goal is to learn all about someone else when I take it to a personal relationship. And you just never know like how you may be able to be a blessing or how somebody else could be a blessing to you. That's until true. You go to that deeper level one-on-one conversations.
That is so true. You know, and I had a similar experience and actually with LaTanya.
Yeah.
Where we met for just like what you just described. We met for a meal and we were sitting down and we were talking and, you know, and I realized that she had another, you know, whole another business thing in the background. And once we started talking about it, it's like, oh, wow, I need that. Yeah. And then, you know, she needed something from me. And we started a bartering relationship that has been very successful. Now, I didn't go into it, like you said, I didn't go into it thinking like, oh, I'm going to barter with this lady. You know, it was one of those things when you realize that she had something that I needed, I had something that she needed, and we came up with a creative way to help each other that did not break the bank.
Yes.
Because that is a part. I am a firm believer in if you got a gift and a talent, and you know, and you are offering it out here, your services out here for a cost, I'm going to pay for it. You know, I want to in some way pay for that. I don't expect you to give it to me for free.
Right.
So in us, you know, both feeling that way, because she had a similar belief, we then at that point decided to barter. But initially when we got together, we just kind of wanted to, what are you doing? Let's get to know each other. Let's go to let's go to a deeper level. I mean, I see you from afar because we are also in another group together, another real estate investment group together. And we kind of connected in a meeting and then we set up some time to meet. So you just never know, you know, who that person is that you're interacting with, what else they have in their arsenal that could benefit you and what you have in your arsenal that can benefit them unless you have a conversation.
Yes. Yes. And I think, you know, it's important that even if you're not in the same room with someone, maybe you're just in a Zoom room with someone. Yeah. And so the world has changed. And sometimes the people that we need to make connections with are not in our local community. They are online in a group that we have joined, or they're in a Facebook group or something like that. And for me, one of the most important things that I did when I first got started in real estate investing was I joined a group, I joined a network, and I started being really intentional about reaching out to have one-on-one conversations.
Yes.
And this is how I found all my private money lenders. This is how I found people that I could ask for help when I wasn't sure how to navigate a situation where I felt like I was stuck. Like, hey, because I'm doing stuff I'd never done before and it didn't go the way I expected sometimes. And so to know who you're going to call, because you first, instead of waiting until you need help with something, be proactive in building relationships so that when you do need to phone a friend, you've got a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially if you're observing other people's, you know, life or how they're living their lives or how they're handling difficult times, then yes, then my thought is, because, you know, I had a situation here recently and it was a difficult situation. And I thought about, who else do I know that has experienced something like this? Let me call them. Yeah. You know, let me see how did they solve this, you know, or find a solution to this. So, but if you're in that space with people and they're sharing their experiences with you, they're sharing their wins and their losses or their challenges with you, you know, not fully understanding that they're giving you options so that if for some reason this happens to you, you have a resource, you have a place to go. So when I think back to that particular person that I turned to, she was honest about what she was going through at that time, which made her a reference for me.
Yes.
Because she shared the difficulties. She shared her challenges. So when I was faced with the same challenge, she was the first person that came. Let me call her and see what she did. Or let me call this person. So even when I, and just going back to something you said a few moments ago, when I say, you know, be in the room with like-minded people, I'm not actually talking about a physical room.
Yeah.
Because that being in the room could be the conversation. Could be the Zoom meeting, can be, you know, it can be a whole lot of things. I just kind of describe it all like we're in the same space, you know, at the time. So making sure you're sharing that space with, you know, like-minded people or people who are willing to be very honest and transparent about their journey. If you never hear someone talk about the bumps in the road or how they had to double back or pay for something twice or blah, da, 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 then I feel like they're not telling you the whole story.
Amen. Amen. No, I think if all you ever hear from someone is how fabulous it is and how good it's going, and you never hear the hard stuff and you never hear the struggle, that like either you're not being a safe place for them to share hard things, or you've got to also look for people who are willing to share life with you when it's not going well. And part of that is like, you've got to earn a place in someone's life where they're willing to share when something's hard and not going well. You know, it's funny. I've got my team members are amazing, by the way. I've got an amazing team, and we had a new gal on my team who was like, do women always cry on calls with you? And I was like, yeah, quite a bit. Because she had had a few strategy calls with women from our Facebook group and that were, you know, interested in how we help and like interested in our mastermind group. And she was like, do people always cry? And I was like, yeah, kind of, like quite a bit, because we try to be a place and we ask questions that allow people. And when I'm sharing about my story, like I share hard things.
Yeah.
Like I do not pretend like my whole life has gone well and that I've had no problems. I share hard things, and it creates that environment of authenticity and vulnerability that allows other people to feel like they can share something hard.
Yeah.
Right. Even just like after that, like they maybe come to a workshop, they hear my story, and then they hop on a call and we're asking them questions and they feel like they can share hard things because we've created a culture where we support each other in hard things and help you figure out what to do next. Like, we don't just stay stuck, we get unstuck and we help you through that process. But I think you being the one that creates the culture, like if you don't have people that share hard things with you, it may be because you're not sharing hard things.
Yeah. I think in some cases that is the case. And but I think the other side of that is that you also may be in a circle with people who are more or less concerned about an image than they are about being transparent.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you have to kind of be able to distinguish the difference between the two.
Yeah.
Because if I am sharing hard things and I'm only hearing the rah-rah, you know, from other people, that it's great. I'm my business is 10Xing and I'm doing all these things. Not to say but you're not telling us the steps that you've taken to 10X, the bumps in the road, because there's always going to be bumps in the road. Then it's just like something's missing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Or that they're not, when you are sharing, a difficult thing, if they're not, you know, chiming in and saying, hey, I experienced that and this is what I did. And not to say you got to broadcast all, you know, your bumps in the road, but when someone else does, if you're not stepping in and offering something, or they're not offering some guidance or some type of insight, then you have to wonder, you know, are they willing to be transparent? Are they able to be transparent? Some people don't know how to be transparent, maybe because of things outside of, you know, their connection with you. So it's just something that we kind of be mindful of. I mean, I'm not trying to villainize people who may not be capable of doing that. Not at all. I just want you to be aware that everyone experiences bumps in the road.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, I got here and I stayed in this lane and no cars crossed in front of me. It didn't rain and there was no snow. No.
Right.
We all experience, and you know, you're not alone. We all experience bumps in the road. So I just would, and that's basically my point. You're not alone if you experience difficulties, bumps in the road, or whatever the case may be. You just got to make sure you're in a place where someone can be open and honest with you and help you through that and offer you some guidance and offer you some insight from a true place of experience. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's what I'm getting at. And I think the environment that you created when you, you know, pulled your first group together, mastermind group together, it created that environment where the first place I would call, I would say, I can't wait to get on a call so I can see what the girls think about this, mm-hmm. you know, or give me some insight about that. It became a safe place, and you don't even realize how safe it is until you need it.
Yeah. That's really good. I believe that vulnerability is leadership. Brené Brown taught me that in her book, Dare to Lead. And I also believe that the two most powerful words in the world are me too. Yes. And so when you're going through it and somebody says, girl, I've been there. Yeah. Me too. I can mm-hmm. totally relate to what you're saying.
Yeah.
That there's something that is more comforting and hopeful about talking to someone who has been through something hard when you are going through something hard.
Yeah.
That is far more powerful than just hearing from someone who seems like they got it all figured out, all put together, maybe never struggled. And so I just want to encourage our listeners, like if you have been through some stuff or you are going through it right now, that you can use that experience to be of service to others in a way that can be transformational. Like mm-hmm. you can be the one that shows up in vulnerability and that invites other people to vulnerability. And that can be a strong position. And it doesn't have to be your weakness and that you're, you know, but there's that piece of emotional intelligence is that we choose who and when we share things to be able to create an environment where others can both come alongside us and that where others can come to help us and then where others can come alongside us and then we can help them.
And you put them in a place where they're not afraid to ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing, you know, you want to create an environment where you can simply ask, I need help, or say, I need help.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then kind of go from there. So yeah. I think that's super, super important.
Super important. Ah, great conversation today. Yeah. Brenda, let's think of what is something we could do to challenge our listeners to take bold action this week. When it comes to networking, what's something that somebody could do like right now, this week, take action?
Find a local group and join it. Whether it's a real estate investment group, Just depending on what your interest is or what your business is and what you're working on, find a group, a networking group, and join it. Start there.
Love it. Show up.
That's it.
Just show up, participate, and open yourself up to conversation with people that you don't normally come across paths with. And I think there's no limit to like how you can receive blessing when you're showing up to be of service to others. So I want to add to that. So show up, find a group you can join it, and show up and participate like wholeheartedly.
That's right. Ask questions.
Yeah. Share. Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
Yes.
All right, sisters. Well, Brenda, thank you so much. This is a great conversation. I always appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you. I mean, just for creating this platform and making it possible for us to share and hopefully bless other people while they're listening to our journey. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Brenda, if somebody wants to get connected with you and how you help other women, what would be the best way to connect with you?
Okay. You can go to my website, brendastrout.com. As well as I am on Facebook, Brenda Stroud. My personal page and my business page is my name. And I also have, you can also find me at Roar. I'm on a Roar Facebook group as well as Roar Society.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And if you want support on your journey to grow your business, I'd love to be your coach and invite you to my mastermind group. You can grab a spot in my upcoming free workshop for women entrepreneurs by registering at AndreaEngstrom.com. And you could also join my free Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood, where I share strategies every single week to help you gain clarity, confidence, and make powerful connections so that you can build the business and the life that you deserve. All right. Brenda, thank you so much again today.
Thank you again today. I love being here with you. I love chatting with you.
Oh, I do too. Well, sisters, if you heard something that was helpful to you in this conversation, share this episode with one of your sisters that you would love to build a stronger relationship with. And just want to encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, continue to share it with others. Until next time, I'm Andrea Engstrom, and we are your sisters in business, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. Show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.
Bye.